When someone tells me they're from Massachusetts, now I always ask what part. I wonder if you kept the pilgrim ashtray that's still propped up on your bar cart. Could make a grand off of the chain you bought me, but damn, it's not for sale. Who's my favorite Batman? I'll think of you and say Christian Bale. But it always sounds so fake. I wonder if your tongue is turned.
Good morning, Metro Vancouver. You are tuned to Rachel's show on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are broadcasting live from the Burnaby campus of Simon Fraser University on the unceded coastal Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. Today we are talking about something we all do, we all complain about, and we all think we are experts at driving, but we are not talking about how to parallel park. We are talking about the daily survival skills on BC roads. We will discuss the social hierarchy of traffic, the advanced skills you need to stay safe. And we are doing a massive deep dive into the most confusing part of driving in Vancouver, the speed limit. What is the law? What is the reality? And how do you avoid getting your car towed? Later in the hour, I have a special 20 minutes French section where we will sharing the topic in French. It's the same traffic theme topic. Let's start with a fun one, the social hierarchy of the road. There are certain cars that the moment you see them pull out in front of you, your heart sinks. You know your commute just got worse. The number one is the L and the N drivers. We all started here, so we have to have empathy. But psychologically, driving behind a novice driver is exhausting because they are unpredictable. They might brake at a green light. They might merge at 40 kilometers per hour on Highway 1. Your actionable takeaway here: double your following distance. Give them space to make mistakes without taking your front bumper with them. the number two vehicles that you don't like to drive behind is the commercial gravel truck. If you drive Highway 1 through Surrey or Langley, you know these trucks. They are massive and they constantly drop tiny pebbles. Driving behind them is a guaranteed cracked windshield. Actionable tip is pass them quickly and safely, or drop back a full 100 meters. Do not hover in their spray zone. The number three in the list is the smart car on autopilot. Whether it's a Tesla or another brand, these cars often suffer from phantom braking. The computer sees a shadow on the road and slams on the brakes for no reason. If you see a driver not touching their steering wheel, do not tailgate them. Their car might stop faster than humanly possible. The number four is the left lane camper. This is the person doing exactly 80 kilometers per hour in the fast left passing lane with a lane of 20 angry cars behind them. We will talk about the legality of this later, but driving behind this person is one of the biggest causes of road rage in Canada. Let's listen to the first song I pick up for you. It's called Day Excuse by Palm.
C'est pas la première fois que je pleure en pensant à toi. Et quand je pense à toi, j'ai le cœur au mauvais endroit. Moi je fais pas confiance auprès. Je t'ai donné ta chance, mais t'as disparu.
Je cherche encore des excuses pour te.
Hello, welcome back. You are, if you want to survive Metro Vancouver traffic, you need to upgrade your skills from beginner to everyday professional. Here are three advanced driving techniques you can use on your way home today. The first skill is three cars look ahead. Most drivers stare directly at the license plate of the car immediately in front of them. This is dangerous. By the time their brake lights come on, your reaction time is already delayed. The takeaway here is to look through the windshield of the car in front of you, or look slightly to the side to see the traffic, three or four cars ahead. If you see a wave of red brake lights 100 meters down the road, you can take your foot off the gas now. You will save your brakes, save gas, and never have a panic stop. The second skill is managing the bubble, which is your escape route. Professional drivers never let themselves get boxed in. You should always have a spatial awareness of your bubble. The takeaway here is, if there is a semi-truck on your right, a concrete barrier on your left, and a car tailgating you, you have no escape route if something goes wrong. Always try to position your car so that the lane next to you is empty. If the car in front of you suddenly stops dead, you need to know instantly that you can swerve to the right without checking your blind spot, because you already knew the space was clear. Then comes the skill number 3, reading the front wheels. When you are driving through a residential neighborhood in Burnaby, and you see a car waiting at a stop sign on a side road, on a side street, don't look at the driver's face to see if they see you. The takeaway here is to look at their front tires. The human eye can detect the rotational movement of a wheel a split second before the massive body of the car actually starts moving forward. Watching the rims will give you the earliest possible warning that someone is pulling out in front of you. Let's then listen to a soundtrack called Ma Fox by Vianney.
D'une montagne, je me suis levé. J'ai dû mener des campagnes pour la soulever. Et j'ignorais pouvoir de mes doigts la bouger jusqu'au moment où je l'ai fait. J'ai versé tant de larmes avant de les sécher et d'en façonner mes armes pour ne plus tomber. J'ai jamais voulu croire qu'on me consolerait jusqu'à me voir me relever. Si j'ai connu des moments, des mois où s'est abîmé mon écorce, au fond de moi je ne savais pas quelle était ma force, quelle était ma force. Avant les drames, avant les fracas, avant la route et ses entorses, au fond de moi je ne savais pas quelle était ma force, quelle était ma force. La plus belle lumière qu'on m'avait donnée, la vie en fit un enfer et j'ai dû l'oublier. En ce temps j'ignorais que le corps n'oublie pas, mais qu'on peut avancer si l'on veut, si l'on croit. Les épaules écrasées par le poids de la pluie, quand se couvre l'été, que le bleu se fait gris. Tout ce temps j'ignorais que j'avais le soleil, tout au fond de mon cœur qu'il faisait des merveilles. Si j'ai connu des moments, des mois où s'est abîmé mon écorce, au fond de moi je ne savais pas quelle était ma force, quelle était ma force. Avant les drames, avant les fracas, avant la route et ses entorses, au fond de moi je ne savais pas quelle était ma force, quelle était ma force. J'ai connu des moments, des mois où s'est abîmé mon écorce, au fond de moi je ne savais pas quelle était ma force. Avant les drames, avant les fracas, avant la route et ses entorses, au fond de moi je ne savais pas. Ma force.
Hello, welcome back. You are listening to CJSF 19.1 FM. Let's get into the main event today, the gap between the lawful meaning of the speed limit and the practical meaning. In Metro Vancouver, the speed limit often feels like a suggestion rather than a rule. You mentioned some... The limit is 50 kilometers per hour. We just discussed the road rule. But the flow of the traffic is 60 kilometers per hour in the Hastings Street or in the other Kingsway. People can even drive to 64 kilometers per hour. The highway limit sign is 90 kilometers per hour, but at night or the weekends, everyone is doing 120 kilometers per hour. Why does this happen? And what is the legal reality? The lawful meaning, which is absolute liability, is that in British Columbia, speed limits are what the law calls an absolute liability offense. This means the police and the courts do not care why you were speeding. There is no legal defense of. But officer, everyone else was doing 120, so I was just keeping up with the flow of the traffic. If the sign says 90 and you are doing 91, you are breaking the law, period. But practically, the police will not do that. They don't ticket people when they do 91 or 95 because there are too many people doing that, and they do not make revenue from ticketing people because that will bring complaints saying, hey cops, don't you have other more important things to do other than ticketing people with only 5 kilometers above the limit sign? Yeah, so they will avoid those low efficiency thing. The practical meaning is here. So why doesn't everyone get a ticket? Because police operate in reality. Traffic engineers have a concept called the 85th percentile speed. They know that 85% of humans will drive at a speed that feels safe based on the design of the road, regardless of the sign. If you are on Highway 17, the South Fraser Parameter Road, it is wide, straight, has multiple lanes and concrete barriers. Your brain looks at the road and says, this is 110 kilometers road, but the sign says 80 kilometers per hour. This is a failure of urban design. When the physical road doesn't match the legal sign, you get mass speeding. But why people overspeed at night and the weekends? During rush hour, traffic dictates your speed. But on a Saturday night, the roads open up. People overspeed because of visual field expansion. During the day, there are hundreds of visual distractions. At night, you only see what is in your headlights. The sensation of speed decreases, making 120 kilometers per hour feel like 80 kilometers per hour. Then here is the takeaway. Calibrate your brain. Do not trust how fast it feels like you are going. At night, force your eyes to check the speedometer every 2 minutes. Your brain will trick you into going faster as the road gets emptier. Let's then listen to another French song track called Angin de Poitrine.
Comme on n'a jamais été, mon amour, entièrement nous.